Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now today we'll call this Work It Out, Work It Out. From Philippians chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now there's a combination here in these verses. First of all, Paul is telling them, look, you obeyed while I was with you in my presence. But he says, now much more in my absence. You know, it's always easier to work hard when the boss is on the scene. And then when he's gone, or when mom and dad aren't looking, and so forth and so on, it's easy to slack up a little bit. It's hard to keep yourself motivated. Teams play harder when the stands are full, that kind of thing. Now he's saying, work it out in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. When God saved you, he certainly has a will and he certainly has a pleasure for your life. He did for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I do always those things that please him. God certainly had a pleasure in Christ's life, where he should go, what he should say, what he should accomplish while he was here, what he should accomplish after his death, what he should accomplish for us even now. God had a will and a pleasure for the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ even prayed, let this cup pass from me, if it be thy will. And so he recognized that his Father, the Lord God, certainly had a will for him. Now, God has a will for you, and God has good pleasure for you. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. According to his purpose. God has a purpose for your life. And so when he saved you, he is working in you. It is God which worketh in you. God is working in you and to accomplish his will and pleasure. And while he is working on the inside, it is up to you to work on the outside. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Sometimes people have misinterpreted this verse to mean that they are having to work in order to get saved. But you don't find anything in the New Testament to support that. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus says that by his mercy he saved us. And in the absence of works, he says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's clear that the New Testament shows you a change after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation is not a matter of works. Salvation is a matter of grace. However, as soon as you are saved, work is involved. Not to stay saved, but to work out your own salvation. In other words, salvation is kind of a three-part deal. When you are saved, you are saved from your sin, you're saved from hell. You are put into the body of Christ. And then after that, you begin a lifelong process of working out your salvation where you are becoming more and more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus. And then at the end of your life, when you die, your soul then goes on to be with the Lord. Eventually, your body is called out of the grave, and then it is perfected, and then your salvation is complete in your bodily redemption. So you have the salvation of your soul, then you have the working out of your salvation in life, and then you have your eventual completion when the body is fully redeemed, when the body is perfected, when the body is fashioned after the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the part we're talking about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 is that period. After your salvation and before your death, it's that part at which your salvation is supposed to be growing. God's working in you. He has a will and a pleasure. You're working it out on the outside with fear and trembling. Let's deal with the first part of this then. God works in you. God works in you. What is God accomplishing when he works inside of you? Well, the very first thing he does is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. The very first thing that the Lord does is that he gives you the Holy Spirit. The very first thing. And that the Holy Spirit then baptizes you into the body of Christ, accomplishing for you the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. You trust Christ and you then become a member of his body. Physically, you are a member of his body. It's a body that is physical and yet you can't see it. And you are now one of the members. You have something to do then in that body. And that happens the moment that you get saved. And that therefore then begins the process of something you must do in that body for the sake and health of that body and also for the sake of the growth of that body. So the very first thing that happens is you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Now imagine being in a church where you're all the time struggling to be baptized by the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. That'd be a great waste of time, because now you're trying to accomplish something in your working out that God already accomplished the moment you received the Lord Jesus Christ. You're trying to do something that God has already done, and you're trying to manifest it by something that God is not doing. See, it's a perfect waste of time. All right? It is necessary to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's something that comes on continually through your life. Well, the first thing that happens then, you are put into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Now you have something to do. The second thing, and these are not necessarily in the chronological order that they occur, because some of these things begin to happen very quickly at salvation, some a little bit over a period of time. But one of the next things that happens is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. The second thing that God works out in you, at least for the sake of this lesson, is that he purges your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's in Hebrews 9:14, and he does that by the blood of Christ. You see, when you get saved, one of the first things that happens is you're awestruck by really how much you've done against the Lord God. I mean, before you get saved, you know you've done some things wrong, and that's one of the reasons you came to Christ. But after you get saved, you realize there's a whole lot more to sin than what you used to call sin. Your conscience is alerted. It's very sensitive now to the presence of the Holy Spirit, at least early on. And what you really want to do is sense a complete cleansing from your past that allows you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. It purges your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, one of the great texts of the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Paul lists a lot of the sins and sinners that were in the congregation of the Corinthians. Oh, there were idolaters, there were fornicators, there were adulterers, there were even effeminate, you know, homosexuals or sissies, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, the whole list. And he says, but such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's a great thing. You know, it's easier for you to realize that you've been forgiven by God than it is for you to forgive yourself. So your conscience needs to be purged. All right, now what's the next thing that the Holy Spirit, what's the next thing that God does in you when he has saved you? God which worketh in you, what's he working in you? Well, he's conforming you now to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 29. When you got saved, you were a far cry from Jesus Christ. You may have been very pious and you may have been very religious. Jesus Christ was neither pious nor religious. They accused him of breaking the Sabbath. Jesus Christ was just a perfect man and a sinless man. You know, there's a lot of sin committed by people pretending to be more spiritual than they are. A lot of sin committed by people being hypocritical, putting on a religious front. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ raked the Pharisees over the coals for being religious hypocrites. Now, he's not interested in how religious you were and how religious you become. He is interested in one thing concerning your growth. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So after you get saved, one of the things that God works out in you from the very beginning is he's conforming you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a tough, tough job, because when we came to Christ, we didn't look like Christ. Now God's working in us to bring us to a place where we are conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in mercy and grace and forgiveness and charity, in our whole thing, the way we looked and act and everything. And you're not going to do that by trying to conform to some local rules. You're going to have to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. God's working that in you even at this very moment while you're listening. All right, what's another thing that the Lord does? Well, He gives you comfort. He comforts you. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, we see that Jesus Christ promised the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, that He's the Spirit of truth, and He'll dwell with you and shall be in you. Well, He's comforting you. So the first thing He does is He baptizes you into the body of Christ. That gives you a position as a member of that body. He then purges your conscience. Then He begins the work of conforming you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since that doesn't go very easily, He sends the Holy Spirit to comfort you. Much of what's necessary to conform you and I to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is trouble, famine, pestilence, tribulation, distress, reproach, infirmity. And we have to go through bad things to get more and more like Christ. And so the Holy Spirit comforts us during that ride so that we don't give up, so that we don't quit, so we don't get frustrated with God. The next thing then that God is working in you is fruit production. He is producing in you. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, or 1 through 8. You can read there that Jesus Christ is the vine, God is the husbandman, we're the branches. And Jesus Christ said about branches, without me you can do nothing. But the purpose is to bring forth much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So the next thing then is He's producing in you. He baptizes you, He purges you, He conforms you, He comforts you, He produces in you. That's a lifelong process. God has to work that out because you are just a branch. You're not the vine. You're not the husbandman. And God is interested in you seeing others come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is interested in building that vine and producing more fruit on that vine. And He is the one that is producing in you. It is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. It's His good pleasure for you to produce. Now you work hand in hand with God in that fruit production. We'll look at that when we look at what you and I are doing. But nonetheless, know that one of the functions that God will try to accomplish in you from now till the time you die is fruit production. Fruitfulness produces in you. The next thing that the Lord does is that He calls you. And this may precede producing in you. This may precede in you being aware that He's conforming you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls you. Somewhere along the way, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. He has called you. He's called you to a duty of presenting your whole spirit and soul and body blameless unto the coming of our Lord. He has called you to sanctification in verse 23 of the same chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. He's called you to that. Now you have a specific calling. I have a calling. My calling is a pastor. I teach. One of the functions that I have as a pastor and teacher is this radio broadcast. Another function is that I teach some folks that have had trouble in their lives, both men and women. I teach preachers as one of the other jobs that I do. Those are things that God has called me to do. And so those are responsibilities that I have and that I'm carrying out. All right. God has something for you to do. He does in this process of sanctification. He didn't intend just to save you, to stick you on a shelf somewhere so everybody can adore how beautiful you are. He's got a job for you to do. And He'll call you. He'll make that job plain to you. You say, well, how's He going to let me know? He's probably not going to pick up the phone and call you, so you spend a lot of time on the telephone. You probably won't hear it that way. He's probably not going to contact you on the internet through the email. He's probably not going to contact you on your television while you're watching a movie or a television show. He's going to get in touch with you through prayer and through reading the Bible. And as you read, it's going to become more and more plain to you that God has something for you to do, and eventually you're going to have to carry it out. That's God's work. He's the one that chooses what He'd have you to do. All right, then something else that He does for you is that He supplies you. He doesn't expect you to be able to do all this on your own without the proper supply. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 tells us, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now that's both good and bad. He knows you need chastening. He'll chastise you, but He scourges every son whom He loveth. He knows that you need patience. He knows you need wisdom. He knows you need charity. He knows you need grace. He knows you need mercy. He knows you need forgiveness. These are some of the tools that are going to be necessary for you to be able to accomplish these other things. He knows you need peace. He knows you need joy. He knows you need temperance, faithfulness, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Those things God supplies. That's God's work. He's doing that in you. You do not produce that on your own. So when you read in the Bible here, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. That's not just God trying to lead you up to a place where he'll hit you with irresistible grace and make you saved, and that you got to be working all that out in order to make that happen. That ain't it at all. What you're reading here is that once you get saved, it's not a static deal. Oh, I got saved. Well, praise God, now I'm waiting on dying in the rapture. That's not the case at all. God baptizes you. He purges you. He conforms you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comforts you. He calls you. He produces in you. And he supplies you, and so forth and so on. You see, you could come up with a list of another 7 or 8 things easily that God is doing in your life after you get saved, that is part of your growth in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, if God is not in there, then there's no sense you trying to work anything out on the outside without God inside of you. You're lost. Now, but if he is in you, then you've got something to work out. You have something to work out, and there are a number of things there that you must do. But you clearly see God is certainly doing some things on the inside. I love the bumper sticker that says, whatever, have patience with me. God's not through with me yet. Shows that God's doing something on the inside. Now, if he's there, you're saved, and he's doing something inside of you, you've got a workout then. You know what a workout is, right? That's where you go down to the aerobics deal, or that's where you go down to the gym and pump a little iron, or get on the treadmill, or run around the track, or take your long walk. Those things are called a workout. So, as a person said very wisely, salvation is easy, but commitment is hard. All right, so you've got something to do now, and it's a big job. It's a call to work out. Well, what's one of the first things that, and again, these are not in necessarily any chronological order, but they are certainly in a suitable order. One of the first things you've got to do is present your body. You've already got it, so your soul's already saved. Now you've got to present your body a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, you do it. God doesn't take it away from you. You present it. You present your body as a living sacrifice. Pretty hard to do with a cigarette in your mouth. You present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for God to expect you to do that. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God has a will for your life, and he's got a pleasure for your life. To work that thing out, then, you're going to have to present your body a living sacrifice, and you can't be conformed to this world. You've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, you just ask yourself a question. Is that easy? Well, he says it's reasonable, but he didn't say it was easy. I think it's a very difficult thing to present your body a living sacrifice. So it is a workout, man. That thing is tough to get over there and say, okay, today I sacrifice myself alive to you like Isaac was sacrificed to Abraham. You do with me as you see fit, God. Woo, that's tough when you've got your own self-will, your own self-opinion, your own self-esteem, and your own self-desires. You're going to have a hard time being sacrificed to God. All right, the second thing that you'll need to do in your workout is pray. That's pretty obvious. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You're going to have to pray. Boy, that is a workout. I don't know how much time you spend in prayer, but if you spend 30 to 45 minutes a day in prayer, you know what a beating your flesh takes. You have a hard time staying awake. You have a hard time concentrating. You have a hard time sensing the filling of the Holy Spirit. You're getting grueled over your list. You do it today, and tomorrow you don't want to do it. Prayer is something that is of an absolute necessity. Jesus said men always ought to pray and not to faint, and so you've got to pray. That is a workout. Oh, now, you know, some people get up in the morning and say, thank you for this good sleep we had. Thank you for this food we're about to eat. Bless this day. Bless my family. Give me lots of money. And we'll see you tonight. That ain't much praying. It's praying, and God certainly hears the prayer, but it ain't much praying. Boy, you look through this Bible at some of the prayers that have been prayed. That's a workout. Daniel, 3 times a day. David wrote the Psalms three times a day, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. Next thing that's a big workout for you is you got to study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, not unto man. How smart are you? Nobody cares how smart you are. You do. You care that they think you're smart, but God doesn't care. Study to show thyself approved unto God, what? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let me tell you something. It is a tremendous load to read the Bible 5-10 pages a day, study out the information that you're reading, and then rightly divide the word of truth so that you get the right interpretation that the Holy Spirit gives and not the one you came up with or your preacher came up with or your favorite commentary came up with. That is work. That's why he says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You've got to study the Bible. I tell you what, today it's a frustrating thing, but Christians don't like to study their Bibles. They want to go to church. They want it put up there on a video screen for them. They want their preacher to preach a fun little message. They want to go to the house. They don't mind. They'll pay dearly for that. They'll put plenty of money in the plate. They want to sing some songs, get happy, go home feeling good, and they don't want to be bothered with having to study. That is a huge mistake. God says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you cannot find the work of God in you to come to perfection if you're not studying on the outside. Now, the study is good because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You've got a lot of good works that you must do. Titus spends six different times he says you got good works that you need to do in Christianity, and you will never be furnished for those good works if you're not studying your Bible. You say, well, my Christian life's not very fruitful. Duh, pray more, study more. Next thing you got to do is win some souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. So, said I'm short in that department. Well, a lot of people are short in that department. It's hard to remind yourself to get up there and bear the ridicule and reproach of getting somebody's face and saying, you know what? You need to trust Christ. Oh, we'd rather them just see it in our lives. They can't see much in our lives. They're just as carnal as we are half the time. Looking at our flesh, they're not going to see much of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to talk. You're going to have to open your mouth. Let your conversation be with grace, seasoned with salt. Remember that deal? You've got to talk. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You got to be willing to talk. You got to be willing to bring them to a, or allow the Holy Spirit to bring them to a place of conviction about their sin, about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, about the truth of the words of God, about hell, about heaven, about getting saved. You're going to have to win some souls. That's what one of the things God wants you to do. That's a workout. That is not easy. That's hard. I know people that have visited folks for 40-some-odd years trying to lead souls to Christ, and still their flesh raises just as much Cain with them as it did the first time they ever tried to talk to a soul about Christ. Hard to do, but you got to do it. Here's another bad one. You know, when he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, I tell you what, you got a full-time job just doing those four things we've talked about. Now look at this bad boy. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You got some work to do there, pal. And so do I. We have got to mortify the deeds of the body. In other words, whenever you've got sin in your life, you get on your knees and say, God, take this away from me. Well, God didn't give it to you in the first place. Now you tell God to take something away from you he didn't give you. You're waiting on a deliverance. Sometimes God may deliver you immediately from a thing, but that's very, very rare. That's on certain big things, but God expects you daily to mortify the deeds of the body. Paul said, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ. I die daily. You got to look at that deeds of that body and recognize what that bad boy is trying to do to you, and you've got to mortify those deeds. That means whenever you're tempted to watch something on television you're not supposed to watch, you got to flip that dude off before you ever see even an inkling. You're on the internet surfing around, something bad pops up on the screen, you got to kill it immediately. A thought comes up in your head, wicked imagination, and before you ever give it even a second thought, you've got to get that thing under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring that thought into captivity of Jesus. That's work. That's hard work. All right, what else you got to do? Well, you got to fight. You got to fight. Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God, verses 10 to 18. The fight is on, buddy. God gave you that armor because the Christian life is a fight. You've got to fight temptation. You've got to fight the devil. You've got to fight the world. You've got to fight your own flesh. So you see what the workout is so far? You've got to present your body a living sacrifice. That's just reasonable. You've got to pray. You've got to study. You've got to win souls. You've got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You've got to fight. And besides all that, you've got to finish the course, man. You got to finish the course. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said, I fought a good fight. Well, amen. You better fight one too. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know what you got to do? You got to finish your course. Now, if God has a will and a good pleasure for you, coming up short on that thing means that he didn't accomplish what he wanted to in your life. You weren't there for the full pleasure of his doing. God's working in you. God's working in you. He's already put you into the body of Christ. You're a member there of the body now. You've got the full supply. He's purged your conscience. He's sanctified you. He's conforming you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given you the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He's called you to do something for him. He's trying to produce in you. And he's given you every supply for every need you have. And now that's the work, some of the work he's doing in you. And all he expects you to do is be reasonable. Present your body a living sacrifice, pray, study, win souls, mortify the deeds of the flesh, fight, and for God's sake, finish the course. Finish the course. You say that's hard to do. Well, what do you think Paul said? Work it out. It is hard to do. But he said, don't you just work hard while I'm around watching at you, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He ain't looking. Work out your own salvation. So many people are still stuck trying to work to get saved or work to stay saved. What a waste of time. You're already saved. That's how you are working out your own salvation. You already have it when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now you've got some work to do. And with fear and trembling, you've got to fear God and you've got to tremble before him that you may not at that very moment be doing the thing that he wants you to do. You love the verse I love, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let me tell you something. God never works out anything good with sin. He only works out good things that you're working out when he's working in your inside. So pray, study, present your body a living sacrifice, win souls, mortify the deeds of the flesh, fight, and for Christ's sake, finish your course.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.